Rog, Kev and Fionn Carr picked their Lions starting 15. How many Irish players will be on the plane to New Zealand? And we get a view from Wales on what Warren Gatland's thinking. It's all coming up on The Hard Yards.
The Hard Yards, brought to you by Ladbrokes, passionate about sport.
With fantastic support, half of Ireland were here. The rest of them are hopefully smiling at home.
We had a bet earlier in the year, €20, that if we won it, I wouldn't cry, but it's the best £20 I'll ever spend.
Here's Hayslip. Well, he picks it up quickly and off he goes. Drops it off to Hinshaw! Robbie Hinshaw scores it! Rugby history! Ireland beat the All Blacks for the first time!
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of The Hard Yards, the Sports Show Rugby podcast. Welcome to Kevin McLaughlin.
Hey Andy.
I have Fionn Carr with me today.
Hi Andy, how are you?
I have Rog on the line from Paris. Hello Rog.
From Perpignan.
From Perpignan. Sorry, that's a bit of geographical education for me this morning, grand. And I have Pat McCarry here beside me.
Hey everybody.
Later on we'll get the Welsh perspective with Rugby World's Paul Williams and get the latest Lions odds from Hayley O'Connor of Ladbrokes. If you're listening to the podcast for the first time, subscribe to it on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher and every good podcast app to get it straight to your phone. We won't mess around this morning. Warren Gatland named his Lions squad on Wednesday, April 19th. So we're going to try and come up with a Lions starting team and squad. This won't be easy, but let's start in the front row. Lads, you've all sent in a team and we had a look. All of you have gone for Jack McGrath in the front row. Fionn?
Yeah, I went for Jack. I think he's a fantastic Six Nations and I think it's a no-brainer for me to have Jack starting there with the form he's in at the moment.
We'll move on. Jack McGrath penciled in.
We all nod our heads.
Yeah. We all nod our heads. He's in. Now, Hooker's the interesting one. Kev, Jamie George.
Yeah, I went for the large and wonderful Jamie George in that position. I think he had a great Six Nations. He's the form hooker and everyone likes to have a chubby man in the front row. Yeah, I think like it's hard on Rory Best. I think I'd have him on the bench and obviously he's got leadership. He's playing fantastic stuff, but Jamie George just brings something different and I'm going to keep hammering home on this that like the Lions need something different to beat the All Blacks. They don't need what would maybe be a good enough team to beat South Africa or beat Australia. This needs to be different. You need electric players. You need players the All Blacks necessarily aren't used to playing against. And I'm a big believer that they're going to need to mix it up to win this series.
So if this happens, right, and Jamie George is named to start the first test, he'll be starting for the Lions before he starts for England.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't think too many people will be crying about Dylan Hartley being taken. I'm not, like, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure Dylan Hartley should even go on the plane.
No, not in my squad anyway. No. Like, if he doesn't start, why do you bring him? Like, you know, is he worth the hassle? Like, and has he had that great of a Six Nations as well? Like,
he played, on average, I'd say about 51 minutes of each test match, which is very unusual for a captain to be dragged off on 48, 49, 50 minutes every test match, which is puts a question mark over his leadership skills. Because I know from playing that like there are certain players that you want on the pitch when the heat goes up, and obviously Jamie George is able to manage those really high pressure moments. His darts are phenomenal. For a chubby man, he moves fast and gets around the park. He's a serious engine. I just think they need to mix it up and try something different.
Rog, you penciled in Rory Best, as did Fionn. Why did you go for the Ulsterman?
I think you'll see from my team, I've put a big emphasis on combinations. As Kevin says, I think they'll be tested mentally more so than in any other test match. It's not as if they're going to South Africa or Australia, they're going to New Zealand. So it's the most difficult place in world rugby to achieve something. For me, I don't know too much about the front row, and it's important I state that, but I kind of think when they hit that dark place, I feel like McGrath, Best, and Furlong as a trio, I think the capacity to escape mentally would be far less as if it's an English, a Scottish or a Welshman together. I just think that that's something that's probably only appreciated when you know exactly what that level is at Test Rugby. And for me, I think the three of them together, I think their capacity to bring the best out of each other would be superior to another combination. I think Jamie George is an interesting player. I'd have no problem. I think for me, he's the impact, him or Sean Cronin. I just think that Sean Cronin offers something off the bench that no one else in world rugby does. And his capacity just to come up with an X factor moment is huge. But starting off, I've gone for the three Irish lads for their capacity to perform a role together.
Okay, so in Rogers' team, it's Furlong to form an all-Irish Lions front row. Kev, you agree with that. Fionn, you went for Dan Cole.
Yeah, I agree with what the lads are saying there with the full Irish front row, and I had Dan Cole down with Tadhg Furlong, but I went with Dan Cole in the end just to mix it up. I think he's had a good Six Nations. England have a seriously strong scrum, and saying that though, going down to New Zealand, I don't know whether the scrum, like New Zealand scrum, will be solid, but they'll get the ball in and out so quick. So I agree with Kev going with a dynamic player, and I might have changed my mind now there and gone with Furlong in the end.
All right, we could have talked him into it right there. Okay,
don't take too much.
Don't buckle at the first line.
I'm not buckling. I just think Furlong's so dynamic compared to Dan Cole. And I was having a conversation with Kev earlier, and I think he is correct. New Zealand are going to get the ball straight in and out, and they're going to try and attack in a different channel.
So we're listening to the man who played closest to the front row, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I think so. Yeah.
I'm like Rog there. I don't pretend to know anything about the front row.
There's a large Scottish man, William Nell, who has to be sniffing around there as well. One of the most dynamic players, front row players, I've ever had the pleasure or displeasure of playing against. I remember he scored for Edinburgh from 40 metres against us.
Yeah.
He skinned one of our back rowers, who I won't name today, whose first name is Shane.
No, we need to know that.
Whose first name is Shane, his second name begins with a J, but he's a lightning player, he's quick feet.
He won't hold that against you anyway, that's for certain.
No. He certainly won't. He doesn't hold a grudge.
He'll research this.
He's absolutely electric.
The Nell question we might come back to, because he's a Scottish player and there mightn't be many on the plane, so we'll come back to that one. Keep going through the team here. Now, in second row land, there seems to be broad agreement on Itoje and Alan Wynne-Jones, with, I suppose, potential for a Laws or Lunchbury sneaking in. But I suppose, Kev, you're closest to this area. Tell us why Alan Wynne-Jones and Itoje.
Alan Wynne is out for me.
He's not in.
He's not in. He's not starting. I have Lunchbury and Itoje starting. Again, dynamism. The type of players that can go to New Zealand, get the pace up, live with the pace, get on the ball, be dynamic, and play the type of game that's going to be needed to play to win down there. Wynne-Jones is an absolute warrior. He gets through an awful lot of work. He's a serious engine on him. He does unbelievable whining to the referee, which has Alan Wynne-Jones, which has very different types of effects. I'm not saying it's always positive, but I don't know. I think I'm sacrificing experience here by, say, not starting with Best and not starting with Wynne-Jones, but I just think going with status quo for this tour isn't going to work. And I'm picking a team I think can do a job. Gats is going to pick Wynne-Jones, there's absolutely no doubt about it, but I don't think he should be starting. I wouldn't even have him on the bench. I'd start with those two guys. Neither of them are particularly experienced from a line-out perspective, so I'd have Big Hightower, Dev, on the bench to come in and dominate the line-out if he needs to, as the best line-out player in the in the Six Nations competition. But, it's a bit different, but it's what I have decided would be able to go to New Zealand and actually do a job.
I went George Cruz, and then I got worried that I looked at everybody else's teams and he wasn't anybody else's starting teams, but I think he'd be pretty good. And Itoje is the kind of safe bet. He seems like he's definitely going to start, but I think Lunchbury or Cruz for me, like, just again keeping those kind of combinations and lads that are used to each other. I'd be happy with that. Like, hopefully, you know, Cruz, he's missed the Six Nations, and there's lads that have kind of injuries kind of came at the wrong time for him. But I think that'd be a good combination. I'd be happy with that. But Wynne-Jones, he's got to be there or thereabouts.
The Rog, stander across the board at six. Is there any argument for not starting him there?
Coming in the second row, I think for me, he told you he's on his way to being the best player in the world. I think it's a massive area of strength to lie in second row. I think I kind of played a lot with Alan Wynne-Jones. I know what he brings. So for me, that's a huge area of strength for the Lions, I think. There's no point thinking about safe bets here in terms of picking your team. Itoje is a complete freak. And I think he's an exceptional rugby player already, and he will even get better. And I think him and Alan Wynne-Jones, for me, I think that's the... the driving force of the Lions, those two players there together, I think.
Do you see Zatoji as a lock or a six long term?
I don't know, and I don't think it's really important. What I see him as is an exceptional rugby player who has massive moments in every game. His capacity to turn over the ball when teams are going through purple patches is incredible, and his athletic capacity is blows everyone else out of the water at the minute.
Okay. On to the wonderful world of CJ. CJ, who's been carrying all before him during the Six Nations, and this has carried through into to your teams. All three of you have him there. Raj, from the Munster perspective, this is a nice thing to have.
Yeah, but that doesn't come into it one bit. I think if you look at it, I suppose if we're selectors, if you don't have CJ Stander in your team, then your logic for selection on selecting on form goes out the window. So he's fronted up in every single club game and international this season. So I suppose in terms of trying to get the most out of your players, he has to start. If he doesn't perform, then you have a decision to make. Do you give him another go or do you put someone else in? But I think on constant form, he starts at six. Does Peter O'Mahony go on the bench to cover him or does he make the play? And that's a decision for me. I think I just went with CJ, Billy Vinopola and Sean O'Brien because I just think you have three animals in the back row.
Seven's an interesting one. We got Tipperick and Sean O'Brien both mentioned here. Fionn?
I couldn't make a decision. I think Sean O'Brien is he's an animal and I think he'd be a great addition with Stander and Vinopola. Like three serious ball carriers there, three guys that could do damage to New Zealand, and then you got someone a true into Pjorik because he's just a turnover. He can get some key turnovers for the Lions with the other two in the back row, Stander and Vinopola. For me, I think if you have either him or Sean, one on the bench, one starting, you're going to go far.
I was thinking, for me, there's a massive skill in picking your impact subs, and for me, Pjorik falls into that category. Without a doubt, I'd have him on the pitch for 30 minutes against the All Blacks. I just think, for me, his physical capacities and his game are suited better after 50 minutes when the game is broken up.
Yeah,
so that's
point.
Why I wouldn't have him a starting seven. You know, I just think he offers so much, but when the defence is fatiguing a bit, I think that's when he comes into his own. And when you're trying to play, you know, a wide, wide game, the first 30 minutes are going to be hugely attritional. I think he's better off making his mark on the game from minute 50 to 80.
Yeah, that's a good point, but like the times, say, Ireland have beaten the All Blacks and come very close to beating the All Blacks, the first 30 minutes being absolutely critical and kind of tempo up, scoring points, scoring tries and getting a lead and holding on to that lead. And I think having Tipperick on the pitch for that first half is important. In my opinion, he's the best link player that the Lions have to pick from at the moment, and just creating that link between the backs and the forwards and getting that tempo up, I think he's going to be really important to it. But it's a very close call between him and Shawnee.
No, you're right. Just counter arguments for everything. That's the beauty of it. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone can kind of say, well, no, I don't disagree with you there, because if anyone watches Tipperick with a bit of consistency, the stuff he can do is incredible.
Yeah.
The Warburton thing is interesting. It's like he's almost seems to be captain in waiting, and he'd be a guy like I was probably impressed with him in the game, you know, at the Millennium Stadium there, Ireland Wales game. And he's stepped up in the past as well. I would have him as my open side, you know, in the team as well. Like, and but it seems to be like he's a guy that's not actually mentioned that much. Like, you know, he could be one of these guys who's captain and actually doesn't make the squad.
Yeah, he's not mentioned because everyone's assuming he's on the team, and I think Gats probably will pick him, but I think it's the wrong decision. I don't think he's dynamic enough. I think he'll get you a couple of turnovers, but two or three turnovers against New Zealand doesn't add enough value. We need a seven who's going to carry, who's going to be dynamic, who's going to make smart decisions, someone like Tipperick or O'Brien, someone who can actually turn a game. And I just, like, okay, Warburton did a great job against Australia. He doesn't have what it takes against New Zealand, in my opinion.
Could he not do, like, the dirty work? So, like, a freeze, like, Vinopola and Stander are going to be the guys who carry. So you need someone like a Lydiate in the past or a Warburton just to kind of just pitch himself in there and just kind of do the dog work.
Yeah, and I think that's what Gatlin will pick him for. But, like, Tipperick, O'Brien do the dirty work as well. There's a mountain of other work, and I just think they have more elements to their game.
So, disagreements here, but good arguments about the merits of what you want to do. I think that's the important thing. What do you want from your open side? But agreement across the board. Billy Vunipola, if this guy's fit, he plays at eight. So we actually won't even go into that.
Emphatic head nods.
Emphatic head nods here. Now, there's an interesting... Rog talked about combinations earlier on. And we have agreement on Conor Murray, Jonathan Sexton and Robbie Headshaw at 12 from all of you. Now, I want to know... Why? Is it a combination thing? Is it an individual talent thing? Fionn?
I think it's a combination thing again. I think Murray, Johnny's got through a good few minutes in the Six Nations. He's had a really strong competition. And Murray, he's been absolutely fantastic. And so has Robbie. I think keeping the three of them together could be key, definitely for the tests. Just with the way they play together, they're really strong. Robbie, like, he's so dynamic. He's so athletic. He's fantastic in the air. I think you can move him across, you can play him 12 or 13, but I think with 12, with Sexton there at the moment, he brings that physicality that I don't think people are talking about maybe Farrell at 12. And I think Robbie will just bring that physicality against New Zealand. Well, they're going to have big centres, dynamic centres, and I think we need to match them there.
Rog, I found myself disagreeing with the panel on this one. I would play Farrell at 12 because I love the second playmaker. I'd love to get your opinion on whether you think Faz has a shout at 12.
I think without a doubt, yeah, for me, he's been one of the standout performers in Europe for the last 24 months. I think he's an incredible player. For me, it came down to selecting. I view him as a 10. For me, if it's Webb and if it's Farrell, I don't think the Lions are weakened. I think it's an area of strength. I think those four halfbacks, Murray, Sexton, Webb, Farrell, are it's a really interesting debate because all of them have their strengths. Will they be able to leave Farrell out of a test team at the minute? It's really, really difficult. I don't fancy the idea of starting the test game with two 10s and one playing as a 12. I know he does it for England, but for me he's a far better player when you watch him for Saracens. Admittedly, it's a level or a few levels below a test rugby, but I think you see the best of Farrell when he's at a 10. I think he has the capacity to dominate a game. Between himself and Johnny, I think that number 10 shirt would be a right tussle. Will they move him to 12? I'm not too sure. I don't think there is a standout centre. I think for me, Tuilagi is a big, big loss because I think he had the capacity to play both games in terms of his Samoan background. I think he's a stepper, he can pass. He's a loss, in my opinion. But I just kind of went for Conor, Johnny and Robbie Henshaw together because of essentially when mentally they're going to get tested, that they're just going to have to find something together to challenge the All Blacks, because they're people underappreciate how difficult it is for the Lions team to do damage in big games.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Rog. Like, it's going to be unbelievably tight between Johnny and Owen, but I just think that Johnny is a type of 10 that doesn't need a playmaking 12 outside him. Certain 10s do. George Ford, for instance, revels when Farrell's there because he takes a lot of the heat off him. But Johnny and Henshaw, the way they play together, they're used to reading each other at this point. And Henshaw just adds a different element. And like Fionn said, the level of physicality he brings to games. And then Murray and Johnny, the way they link with each other. But like Rog said, if Webb and Farrell were to come into a test game as well, it doesn't really weaken the team, which is a great position to be in.
I like that kind of Farrell Henshaw midfield. You know, like I kind of like. I think that's that, like, it looks good on paper. They should link up well together as well. But I suppose if you were to go Henshaw 12, maybe you bring Davies in then as your 13 or something like that.
Well, that's the next thing. Who do you play at 13 in that environment? So Rog has Jonathan Davies, the two lads here of Jonathan and Joseph. Kev, Joseph, is that just like, obviously he's electric, he can get over the line. What do you see over someone like a Davies or even a Guy Ringrose?
Yeah, I don't see a huge amount. I think it's a close call. I just think Joseph is probably the best 13. A lot of it's going to come down to combinations again. And if Farrell plays a 12, which he could do, it'll definitely be Farrell and Joseph together, I'd imagine. If Henshaw plays a 12, it's going to be like whoever Gatlin thinks is the best combination. But I would guess that Gatlin probably will go with Davies. But I think, for me, Joseph just gets a nod based on his form.
Just for me, he's just so athletic. He's so quick, so powerful. He's got a fantastic step and handoff. I think he's going to bring something different there. I think Davies, again, it could be Davies as well. I think it's going to be between those two. Again, like the lad said, it will depend on combinations and how they go early on. But for me, it's just going to be Joseph. I think he's going to bring that just a little bit more electric stuff to the Lions team. I think he'll get over the line there and he'll score a few tries for them.
Now, there's a fascinating debate here and in an area in which, Mr. Carr, you have some expertise. Jack Noel, Elliot Daly, Liam Williams, three different choices. It's the only area on the team where all three of you have gone for something different here, left wing. Tell us who you went for and why.
I went with Elliot Daly. Again, he's an all-rounder for me. So he, like, whatever New Zealand throw at him, I think he can handle. He's fantastic under the high ball. He's so quick. And I just think with his form with England at the moment and with Wasps, I think he has to start for me. Whether it's left or right wing, you know, he's left-footed, so that's why I went with the left wing. And I just think he's gonna be a starter for me there. He can also cover 13 as well, which is another reason I definitely have him on the plane and as one of my starters.
Rog, Liam Williams, there's a man who's brought it to the All Blacks before.
Yeah, I really like him. It's probably interesting in the fact when you have a perception of the players you played against, and then when you study them from a coaching point of view, your perception changes greatly. Jonathan Davies would fall into that category. Liam Williams for me has been really, really consistent for a number of years, and I think that's why I put him in there. I think he, on previous tours in New Zealand with Wales, he's been exceptional. I think he's thrived on the big occasion and it's brought the best out of him. I think his error rate is very low. His capacity to beat the first defender every time. I found that he was contesting wide area rucks. He was very physical, very effective in that area. So I think that's what they're going to need to be doing, because the All Blacks will put serious heat on in the wide rucks in terms of looking to turn over the ball. And I think for him, he plays that game quite naturally. So I felt that on his consistency over 3 or 4 years, he deserved to get a crack at the first test. I just think Elliot Daly is unproven in terms of these guys. It's a different, I don't know, is he in between the 10 and 20 cap stage? That's not what you needed for me going into the first test. I think you need proven form performers at this level. Elliot Daly will have a dip. Is it New Zealand the place where he'll have the dip? I don't know. I don't think he'll get on the plane.
That's interesting. Jack Noel.
Yeah, I have him in there. To be honest, left wing was the one I really struggled with. Played around with a lot of different options here. There's no obvious option, which is really interesting. Like, I like the idea of getting the scaffolder in there. Like, Rog, he has that kind of different element of physicality. Just brings a bit of an X factor, but so does Noel. So I went with him. You just don't know what you're going to get from him, and he's an electric player and he adds something different, and I went with him, but it was a very close one.
I had too many Paddies on the team. If I had my way, I'd have all the Odebo on it.
It's a pity you're not picking the team, Rog.
That's the issue with all this. You could give 50 players and you'd be happy with it, you know. I think that's the beauty of it. I don't think this time around there are as many standout players guaranteed to play. You can make a debate, as we've seen over the last 40 minutes, about who you want in your team, with, I think, pretty convincing arguments on both fronts. So that's why it's, I suppose, hugely interesting.
Seems to be broad agreement over the last two slots. George North, Stuart Hogg. On form, I think both agreed there, that we'd all agree they're the men you have to have in this team. Stuart Hogg is definitely in form. Is there a question around George North, though? I mean, he had those two tries against Ireland. He had the long try against Italy. Mm. But this is not the George North of a few years back.
Yeah, he was openly questioned. And it was interesting to kind of see Howley kind of talking about him as North was a guy who needed to step up and perform. And like, maybe some guys actually need to be questioned like that to motivate them, because it was a strange thing for his form to be questioned in the Six Nations. But then it's like there's not that many big stages to prove yourself on, and he absolutely tore Ireland apart, and that was a big moment for him to kind of prove when the pressure was on that he could do it. And just you know, from past experience, and he's a guy who's done it before. He's a guy who probably I was going to say he would frighten New Zealand. I don't think anybody would frighten him, but he's a guy who could cause him trouble. So I definitely have him in there.
North versus Sevilla, nice matchup. I just think like he has the ability to score from 40 metres. He did it in Australia. He's done it at the international stage for the last 5 or 6 years. He's a big game player. I'd have him in there.
I agree with the guys. I think, you know, he brings massive physicality on that wing as a ball carrier. I don't think he does. He breaks tackles, and that's what the Lions need. They need something different. And I think as much as we say Jack Knowles and maybe Earls and Zeebo, I think they're fantastic players and will push for these positions. But I think for me, George North will break those tackles and will get that gain line that the Lions need in the go forward ball. And I just think he has the capability of scoring from nothing as well, which is also a fantastic trait.
Okay.
It's interesting we're not talking about Halfpenny at all here.
No, we're not.
He is a strong contender to start with Gatlin picking the team, just to say.
I don't see it.
You don't see it, but I'm telling you, Gatlin's thinking about it.
There's going to be some surprises, I think. Yeah, there's going to be surprises.
Yeah.
No, he's Gatlin's boy. Like.
He is. I'd almost, if you've got a Sexton or a Farrell playing and taking the kicking responsibility, I would almost see Gats picking Liam Williams at 15. If he's going to go Welsh.
Yeah, I think it's interesting what Kevin says. I think you know, obviously this day a week, because if Halfpenny's on the plane, I think he's on the test team to kick.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
I think that's... I don't see him being picked. I just think he's underperforming in Toulon, and I think with the quality of goal kickers that there are now, we haven't even mentioned Greg Laidlaw as a backup nine in terms of kicking as well, because the composition of this team, they'll always have three proven test goal kickers in their squad. They just have to do that, you know, the way they break it down. So it'll be interesting to see who gets that third goal kicking slot.
We'll move on to the Irish Travellers. So, who is on the plane? I'm going to list out who I consider the definites. Murray, Sexton, Furlong, McGrath, Stander, Henshaw, O'Brien. Is Rory Best in that group? Is he definitely travelling?
Not definitely. I wouldn't say definitely. Like, you wouldn't say he's a banker to go. Like, you know, you'd be shocked if he didn't go, but... you'd be shocked if he didn't go, but, like, I wouldn't say he's a definite.
I think he's on the plane.
Yeah. I'd agree he's on the plane. I think he's...
Okay.
Oops.
the journalist is outvoted. Now, the maybes. Ian Henderson. That's an interesting case, because like Itoje, he can play lock and back row, but you've already got Itoje. Do you have room to bring Ian Henderson?
Yeah, that's the only thing that's working against him, is coaches like bringing one lock stroke six. The only thing I'd say is the quality of both of those guys makes a strong argument for inclusion of both of them. And it's not like he's a lock who can do a job at six. He's a lock who's
exactly.
Unbelievable at six as well, and potentially even better. And the same with Itoje. Like, they're just great players to have. They're impact players. They're both good in an open game, which a lot of the games in New Zealand are going to be. I'd bring them both. I think Henderson definitely is a type, the calibre of player that's going to be needed to win the test series down there. So I think he should be brought, but the only thing could work against him is the Itoje factor.
Okay, so if you're bringing Henderson, do you also have room for Devon Toner?
Yeah, I bring Dev because he's the best line-out player in the Six Nations in Europe at the moment. And quality of possession and playing off the line out is going to be critical. But it's an extremely competitive area.
And how do you qualify that, Dev? What's your, in terms of what, statistical analysis, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
The best? No,
I got Andy to run the stats for me.
And what, he catches the most among the ball in the line-out, is it?
Yeah, it's just from a hooker standpoint, he's so easy to throw the ball to. Not only from a scrum half point of view, if you speak to the likes of Redzer, the quality of possession he delivers to the nines and being able to play off the line out. That's why he's been kind of an ever-present in the Irish team for the last two or three seasons. Joe puts so much value on playing off line outs. And I just think like line-out possession against New Zealand is going to be so important, but it's going to be a mix of getting the right level of athleticism in the team and making sure that you gain possession. And it's a tight mix for Gatlin to juggle. And the second row is probably the most competitive area.
So if Gatlin wants that kind of line-out surety, does he have an option of going for, you know, Peter O'Mahony can provide something on, you know, on that line,
yeah,
but from a slightly different angle?
Yeah, see, Peter's different in that he gives a great option, but like you're talking about line-out callers, you need two line-out callers on tour. One will be Alan Wynne-Jones, and then you need one more, and Dev's the Irish line-out caller. You've got someone like Launchbury who can call the line-outs but isn't as experienced, so it's going to be an interesting decision.
Dunnacker Ryan, he'd be a line-out caller as well, wouldn't he? Like, he'd take the calls for Munster as well. I think he's definitely in the conversation, and he's in top form in recent weeks.
Yeah, he's playing well.
I agree.
What's your thoughts, Roger?
I think he is, but I think in terms of the balance in the books, I think Ireland are going to lose out in the second off slot. I don't think they're going to have any travellers. I just think they're going to be big discussions about them in the front row and the back row, and I think forward-wise, I don't think they're going to have any luck in the second row department, because I think Henderson will fall into the back row, second row category. But for me, I don't think unfortunately, I don't think they'll pick Devon or Dunnacker Ryan.
We'll move into the backs. Gary Ringrose and, for some, Jared Payne. There are two players who can play a couple of positions. Are either of them, do they have a sniff of getting on this plane, or is that just journalist talk here, Fiona?
Of course they have a sniff. They've both been playing in the Six Nations, probably Gary a little bit more than Jared. It'll really depend on what Gatlin wants in the centre there, and if he's going to go with his tried and trusted, or if he's going to go with something new with Gary Ringrose. I think he's had a fantastic year for Leinster and Ireland, so I'm not sure really there. I think he's going to stick with Jonathan Davies, your Jonathan Josephs, your Robbie Henshaws, and then I think there is a space there for maybe one of them, but I'm not sure really there.
And Simon Zeebo and Keith Earls, I mean, they're going to be fighting over a slot in a very, very competitive back three. Back three, but if you want to take, five, six players to cover those?
Yeah, I think Earls will probably just miss out, which is unfortunate for him. He's been unbelievable in the Six Nations. I think you've got to get Zeebs in there. The fact he can play 15 as well, particularly if Halfpenny isn't coming. I think, you've got to have someone to back up for Hogg. I think Hogg's a fantastic player, and I think he should be the starting Test 15, but I'd be a bit worried about his mental capacity. If he drops a couple of balls early on, New Zealand getting his face, I think you might need someone like Zeebs to come in and do a job. Like, Zeebs has an unbelievable level of confidence in his own ability, and someone who could come in and change up a Test match.
I had an issue with myself and Andy. Were having arguments about how many we're going to have in the squad. I had 39 man squad and I had to cut two. It was sad to see them go, and they were both Irish lads. It was Zeebo and Jared Payne. I'd love to see Payne make it there, but I suppose if you have to be harsh, you have to make harsh calls. Do you see him in the Test team? No. And then if he's not there, well then, he gets cut, which is, he can cover multiple positions as well, but
Should you be picking anyone that you don't believe has a sniff of getting on the Test team? Is that the way?
Yeah, well, it's weird. Let's say you're number eight or something like that. Like, you're going to need someone who's going to play the midweek games, because Vunipola, you're not going to wear him out. So you have to almost pick a number eight to cover. Would you have an O'Mahony who can play eight, or do you just go with a Heaslip or something like that, who's a solid backup and can play midweek as well?
Heaslip's an interesting one.
Yeah,
there's a world not far away where he's not on the plane, Rog.
Yeah, so no, I think it's important to come in with Keith Earls and Zeebo. I think a massive advantage is they've been on the tour before. They are Lions, so it's not new to them. That will be prevalent in the mind of the selectors, because irrespective of what people say, if it's your first Lions tour, everything is new to you. And I think, the gear is hugely exciting. All being is very new to you, but if you've been on a tour before, you know exactly what it's about. And then your bedding in period becomes an awful lot quicker, your acceleration and your capacity to learn becomes an awful lot quicker, and your goals are actually far further down the line than just actually being happy to be on the tour, which enhances the quality of training every day. So I think that would be an advantage in Earls and Zeebo's case. I think the fact that two of them have had Lions tour experience before,
and then if you talk about
it suits Jamie Heaslip as well.
Yeah, well, he qualifies and all ends up on that front, all right. Just so, last couple of minutes, proper bolters, right? A proper, proper bolter here would be Joey Carberry. That's not happening. It's fun to talk about. Sean Cronin is the interesting one. You can't classify him as a bolter, but, you know, that impact off the bench, he could be up against Rory Best for a slot in that plane.
Yeah. I'd love to see the Nugget over there. Just the dynamism he brings off the bench, the dynamism he brings when he starts, again, it's something different. The type of guy that can change a game up and the type of guy we're going to need to win the tour, I think he's probably going to miss out. I think if he played the Six Nations, he would have been right thereabouts. So that injury came at a terrible time for him. I'd love to see him there. Another guy for me who I think should be considered is Christian Wade. He's been tearing up for Wasps. He's absolutely electric. He'll score tries. He's the kind of guy that I don't think should be in the test team. I don't think he's big and physical enough. But in those midweek games, he'll pick you up a load of tries. And I'd have him in there.
Those midweek games for me, though, are going to be just close enough to the test level. And I, just with Christian Wade, I'd much prefer to have a Zebo or Earls there. Someone, again, tried and tested. I just think Christian Wade, he's great going forward, but how will he handle defensively against New Zealand?
I think he'd just get trampled.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if he'll get trampled, but I just think Azebo or Earls or someone who's been there, done it before, knows what to expect. I think I'd much prefer to have someone like that in there.
And Raj, in terms of the players who aren't currently playing test rugby, Strattle in France, Ashton in England, is there a chance one of them gets on this plane, or realistically, is that newspaper talk?
I think their games make them worthwhile debates, because Strattle is hugely performing for Claremont, and Ashton for me, I think, exactly what you want in a winger. He scores tries in big games and his work rate is incredible, and I think, actually, contrary to what people say, he's a great squad man. But there are obviously are reasons for not picking them as well, because it means if you're picking fellas that, you know, mean based outside of the country they're playing, and all these players kind of buy into the rules, and these two, Ashton is gone and he's not in favour with England, so it really is kind of, I suppose, a double hammer blow for the wingers that get picked or that aren't picked, if these two are picked.
I just want to throw in my hipster bolter, and Kev was helping me with the pronunciation of it as well earlier on. Nick Abendanon, great kind of form for his club, but, you know, doesn't get the pick for England. And yeah, Roger, you've probably seen him kind of closer than most of us this season. Is he even in the conversation?
I don't think so. I agree with you. I think he is a really interesting player. I suppose his graph is hugely consistent to inconsistent. He has some magic moments and then some poor moments in games. But he is a good player. But I don't think any of the three English fullbacks will go on tour.
Yeah, which is your Browns as well. Like, he was a guy you'd, like, great, great player, but almost forgotten about it.
Andy wasn't giving him a sniff, which is pretty funny. I think Andy's gone off the players he likes the most. Who would you most like to go for a coffee with? And that's how he's picked his squad, which is pretty interesting.
That's one for a future podcast. Raj, thanks very much. We'll leave you back to your hard work in Perpignan, and we'll talk to you next week. Up next, we get a Welsh perspective on the Lions and an insight into perhaps where Warren Gatland's mind is right now, with Paul Williams of Rugby World.
Murder, She Wrote is the perfect thing to watch during the day. You can watch the start, fall off for 40 minutes, come back, see the end, perfect. You know what I mean? You've missed nothing, really. Remember Raj, Kev in the Killiney used to have to bring two TVs into the room, one for you for Cheltenham. Like every red-blooded male in the country, he'd be watching the horse racing, whereas I'd have a TV for myself for things like Murder, She Wrote and Houses Under the Hammer. Murder, She Wrote is the perfect thing to watch during the day.
The Hard Yards on Sports Joe, backed by Ladbrokes.
We're back on the Hard Yards, and we're going to continue our Lions squad special by getting the perspective of a man not wearing green tinted glasses. Rugby writer with Rugby World, Paul Williams. Hello.
Hi guys, how are you doing?
We're doing pretty well here, but we are conscious that there is a bias in our opinions here. There's a lot of Irish names both in the team and on the plane. For example, Devon Toner is in Kev's 23. There's, you know, these are things where I think we need to be put straight. How many Irish players do you see in the 15?
Well, in my 15, I think there'd be a big contingent of Irish players. It's really difficult when picking these Lions teams, between picking the team that I would pick and then picking the team that I think Warren Gatland will pick.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a big difference between those two things and what they are. And I think it's easily summed up with Stuart Hogg as fullback, right? That position to me will sum up exactly the differences with anyone else's team or Warren Gatland. You know, Warren Gatland is a defence first sort of bloke. And that's how he's always picked his squad, that's how he's always picked his Welsh squad. So I think with that said, you know, my point being, I don't think he'll pick Stuart Hogg to start a fullback, is what I'm saying. And I think that will tinge the way that of any sort of Irish side. But I've gone with Jack McGrath, Oakland side, and Rory Best. So I've got 2 out of 2 there, good start. And then I know everyone's, there's a big clamour for Tadhg Furlong, and he's a fantastic player. I just think he'll start with Dan Cole in the first test, just because he's more senior and been there and done it. And then I've got Marwyn Tojei, Alwyn Jones at lock, and then I've put Faletau, because he loves Toby Faletau, okay? And even though Faletau's had an injury-ridden season and hasn't played particularly well when he's come back, actually, with the performances when he came off the bench for Wales, they weren't great, but he didn't look fit. He is fit now, and the last two performances for Bath have been fantastic. So I think he'll do everything possible to put Toby Faletau in the team, and even over CJ Stander. And I know that might seem insane, because he's probably the best.
There'd be riots in Limerick.
There would be, and I think CJ Stander's had a fantastic season, and I would pick CJ Stander at 6. But I think he'll try and put Faletau in there, because he'll have to have Vinipola at 8.
Yeah.
So I think he'll desperately try and put Faletau at 6. And then I think Sam Warburton, even though he had a sort of patchy pre-Christmas, he's been absolutely fantastic since. So I think most people will agree that he'll start there at 7. And then I've gone Conor Murray and Sexton, 9-10. So I think that's another important thing that, you know, particularly when people are selecting, you know, these 15s willy-nilly online, they forget that they need to make these combinations have got to work as soon as they get off the plane. So if there are any preset, you know, combinations that Warren Gatland can execute, he's going to do that. So if he can pick Sexton and Murray at 9-10, I think that's an obvious choice. I think he'll pick George North, because he just likes big players. Owen Farrell, definitely at 12. 13, slightly more contentious. I've gone with Jonathan Joseph. But I think there are numerous players who could play in a 13 there for the Lions. Even Henshaw could move across, because I think, you know, there's a case for him playing in the 15. On one wing, then, I've gone with Liam Williams, because I don't think there are any absolute standout contenders on there. There are 3 or 4 players who could play there. I've just gone for Liam Williams. I think he's had a really unfortunate 12 months. I think he should have been playing fullback for Wales, and if he had, we wouldn't even be having this conversation about whether he'd be on the wing. I think he'd be. I think he would be at fullback. He was fantastic against New Zealand last summer, but the Welsh coaches don't see him as a fullback, so that sort of cursed his year really. And then I've put 15 here as fullback, because that's what I would do. I'd have Stuart Hogg. He's been fantastic. I know his defence is patchy and his tackle completion isn't what Warren Gatland would want, but he, you know, that guy makes 3 or 4 line breaks a game. And you know, last season the All Blacks, they were averaging 6 tries a game, so, and they played some really good opposition. You know, that's not playing the USA and Canada. So I think the Lions are going to have to be looking to score at least 4 tries a game, and I think Stuart Hogg allows for that. Whether or not he gets selected is a different matter.
So there's a couple of really interesting points there. Kev, I'm going to go straight into the back row. Two elements here. So there's the Warburton question and there's the Faletau question. Warburton is predicated on, one, he's a favourite, but also it's the kind of play. Now, we talked earlier on about, you know, turnovers won't beat you, won't beat New Zealand. You need something else. This is interesting because we were all talking about Tipperick and O'Brien earlier on.
Yeah, Paul, we were just discussing, I believe the type of player we need to beat an All Blacks test team is Tipperick, someone who can be a link man, someone who can get the pace up. I think Warburton will get you two or three big turnovers, but that might be enough against Australia. I don't think it'll be enough against the All Blacks. And just as a matter of interest, are you saying from your point of view Faletau should start, or that's what you think Gatz will do?
I think that's what Gatz will do. I think CJ Standard deserves to start. You know, from what I've seen of him this season, I mean, in every game he's been, it's sort of standout man of the match stuff. He carries, his defence is fantastic. And, you know, he's a mobile player, you know. He's a genuine six, a proper sort of carrier. Something that Warburton isn't really. He's, you know, even when he plays at six. So you lose that balance. But Warren Gatland just loves boys who are really strong over the breakdown. And unless he's going to change the way he's played, which I can't see happening because he's been coaching teams like that now for well over a decade, Warren Gatland's play is all about a big first up ball carrier, straight over the top, win that breakdown as quickly as you can, straight around the corner. You know, Warren Gatland isn't one for the nuances of rugby. You know, that's why Tipperick has always been a bench player under his control. He's never started him over Sam Warburton. I don't suppose he ever will. That's an interesting thing, but I absolutely no doubt that I think he'll start at seven. There's also quite a lot of talk in Wales from, I won't mention any sources, get in legal trouble, but the captaincy might have swung his way. So, you know, with that said, that's almost, you know, you are guaranteed to start, which is one of the unusual idiosyncrasies of picking a tour captain before you go. I always think they should just pick four tour captains and then pick the best guy who's playing that weekend. But there we are, that's how it goes.
That's a good point, because he's shoehorned into the team then. But I just think, like, in terms of the turnover and ability over the ball, you got someone like Sean O'Brien who can be in the 23 and add that and add a lot more on top of it. But Gatland's got to decide whether he's going to pick guys he's familiar with and comfortable with, or whether he's going to pick a team that's going to be able to win in New Zealand.
But he's also could decide the style of play. Can a team beat New Zealand, this New Zealand team, who are so dynamic, playing Warren ball? I mean, that's the big question here.
I don't think they can. And I've never thought they could. I mean, you just... I'm obsessed with Super Rugby, right? If you follow me on Twitter, I watch it all the time, right? And the way the Kiwis are playing Super Rugby, and that is the way they're going to play Test Rugby, obviously not to the same degree of slinging the ball around, but the players they've got and the ball handling, I mean, you've just got to look at their locks. You just look at Sam Whitelock and Brodie Retallick. They carry the ball better than some Northern Hemisphere centres. But you watch the way that they play, the way that Brodie Retallick and Sam Whitelock, they do this lovely little one-up carry through the middle of the field, always get their arms free over the top of the tackle. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Brodie Retallick go to ground with the ball in the last month. Always gets the offload off, always gets this little wrap-around pass. And like you say, it's not going to be enough to just win turnovers and kick to the corner. They're going to score tries. They go in to score tries. And Borden Barrett, I mean, he's scoring tries from everywhere. He's the best 10 in the world, probably the best player. There's not a player like him in the world at the moment. I know Sexton's a magnificent 10 in that Northern Hemisphere mould, but the stuff that Borden Barrett is doing in Super Rugby at the moment with his pace, I mean, he's not just starting tries, he's finishing his own tries, you know, sort of 34-yard, 40-yarders. So I think whether or not Warren Gatland's going to change, I can't see it. Personally, but they're not going to win it with six or seven penalties a game. That's a fact.
Are there any kind of surprise, you know, as the talk in Wales about, like, I've heard even the likes of Jamie Roberts being mentioned, or, you know, a Rob Evans or something. Is there any kind of talk about lads that Warren might go to as well that might surprise us?
I think that the only, I mean, it's not a bolter because it's almost sort of going back a decade, but one player I think he'd love to take on tour, and particularly the first injury at Loosehead, would be Gethin Jenkins. I mean, he's built a lot of his rugby around Gethin Jenkins over the last decade, and Gethin's been injured pretty much all season, which sounds bad, but means he's actually really fresh. And I think the first injury at Loosehead, Gethin Jenkins will be on the plane. He's not exactly a bolter, but you know, he doesn't really do surprises, Warren Gatland. He doesn't do surprises on the pitch or off the pitch. You know, he's not the sort of selector who's going to just take Christian Wade out of the blue, or, you know, a Keelan Giles, or one of these sort of, you know, one-off tour players. He's not that sort of guy. And that's why I don't think that the Lions will even win a test. I know that sounds a bit deflated, but I think it could be a 3-0 in New Zealand, unless they change the way they play. If Warren Gatlin keeps that style of rugby that he's been playing with Wales for the last four seasons, there's no way in the world they're going to win.
Yeah, Caelan Giles would be a pure bolter, Fionn. It's someone you mentioned earlier on before air.
Yeah, I mentioned him. I've watched him a little bit with the Ospreys, and I think he's got out-and-out raw pace. I think, like you said, Paul, if it's something that we need to score tries, I think he could definitely, as a bolter, be an option. I don't know whether Gatland will make space for him on the plane as someone he's looked at. I know he's been playing really well with the Ospreys, but for me, I think he's going to stick to the norm in the back three with the likes of George North. Whether you said he pick Hogg, I'd love to see him pick Hogg because he can score something out of nothing. And I think for me, he has to start at 15 with his current form. And we need to score tries over in New Zealand. And I think he's the man that could do it for us.
Right. We'll wrap up there. But one thing I do want to leave you with is that when it comes to fringe players, especially Welsh ones, the tours have been planned very, very nicely. Wales will be playing Tonga in Auckland. That's while handy. The Lions are over there. And then they're flying to Samoa, which is just like 4 hours flight away. So Gatland can call some of these guys who he knows well and say, lads, come on, pull on a different red jersey. Paul, we'll let you go. Talk to you again soon. Next up, how you might be able to make some money out of next week's Lions squad selection announcement. We'll be right back.
The Hard Yards on Sports Joe, backed by Ladbrokes.
There's been a lot of money being thrown down on Lions betting this week. And to get an insight, we have Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes with us in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. We've had a great discussion for the last while. Lots of different opinions. But one thing we haven't really talked about too much is the overall captaincy. So how does Ladbrokes see this right now?
Well, the way we see it, we've suspended betting on this because we just think Sam Warburton's a foregone conclusion. Now, that's kind of dividing opinion, like that, you know, with that news of his it is a low-grade knee injury, but with his keeping him out for 6 weeks, you know, that would open the door for captaincy for maybe the likes of Rory Best. And like that, in fact, the fact that he's rested will make him more attractive. And, you know, that he was 24 when he was captain 4 years ago, and he's even in an even better position. And we just think he's going to make it. We're actually, Alan Wynne-Jones at one point was popular for the captaincy. Some publications coming out and saying that his captaincy during the Six Nations didn't do him any favours, and now it's questionable whether he's either going to make the plane. And we are seeing money against that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There seems to be a real belief there that he's not gonna be on that flight.
Yeah, that's funny because that Kev did bring that up. But back to captaincy, Pat, what do you think? So Warburton as captain, I suppose, in terms of wrapping him in cotton wool for a while, it's not as if he's playing, with the greatest respect, he's not playing in the pointy end of the European competitions this summer.
Yeah, like at risk of offending Cardiff Blues again. Like their season has been over for a long time, and you wouldn't be surprised, you know, of actually him getting the nod and like, listen, rest yourself up. The only thing was that he did limp out of that Ulster game last week, which kind of would make you think there is something up with him. So I'd be kind of a mind that, yeah, he's been told to kind of, listen, get yourself right, you know, you're going to be played. So it'd be interesting that you'll have a guy on the sidelines getting named as captain, but this could be going back to what they said, like you could just have a touring captain and somebody else picked for your test teams, like the likes of I'm even trying to think of bankers who might start, like a Conor Murray or an Owen Farrell or something like that, but or Rory Best as well, who a lot of us had actually picked in our team.
Yeah, I was running through captaincy options, and the one thing that jumps out to me isn't even the captain, it's the leadership group. So looking at who the vice captains are, is that how you spread out the country angle? You know, this talk about four captains, I'm not buying it. There's going to be a captain, you know.
I think it'll be, Warburton's like, he's personable, he comes across well, like he's, you know, most people will agree with him, like, but most people might not have him in their starting test team, but most people, like, you won't have serious complaints if Warburton goes as captain. Like,
guys making a late push for the squad. We talked about Sean Cronin earlier on. Is this someone who people are seeing in betting land as perhaps making a late push here?
Well, I mean, Luke Fitzgerald said that, you know, he could be an ideal candidate. He think he said that this week. We think he's a kind of a 10-1 shot to go 1-33, not to go. But, you know, if he starts against Claremont and he puts in a good performance, that those odds could change. But we wouldn't be massively optimistic at the moment, just because you know, there's a lot of good hookers there as options at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And Chris Ashton, we also talked about, is this more likely or less likely than Sean Cronin?
Less likely, actually.
Less likely.
It was funny because I was just reading The Guardian this morning, and some director of rugby had said, you know, he's like Chris Ashton should be a major consideration for the squad. And they asked him what he thought, and he said, I think my missus has more chance of making the squad than I do. So he's a 16-1 shot. We kind of agree with him on that.
Yeah, it's good copy though, isn't it?
It's funny, isn't it? The campaigns are beginning, aren't they? Like, you know, like you see names cropping up, lads trying to get make last minute pushes to get their guys in there, and Nugget, the campaign for Nugget is kind of gathering momentum, isn't it?
It is. Things have been led from Perpignan today. But we leave it there. Thank you to everyone for our line show. Thank you, Kev. Thank you, Fionn. Thank you, Hayley. Thank you, Rog. Thank you, Pat. And thank you to Paul Williams. Joe Harrington is the show's producer. Shane Dempsey is on sound. The podcast is available on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher, and every good podcast app. Thank you for listening to The Hard Yards. I'm Andy McGeady. We'll talk to you next week.
The Hard Yards, brought to you by Ladbrokes, passionate about sport.